From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
We started Ty Scott Records as a label to put our church recording on. Our church did a recording, and we needed a label to put it on. And my nephew, who was our pastor's son, Craig Tyson, was instrumental. He and I, you know, wrote songs together. And my attorney, you know, he asked, you know, what do you want to call, you know, this label? And so his name was Craig Tyson, and my name was Leonard Scott. And so he said, well, why don't you call it Ty Scott? And that's how we got the name Ty Scott, and we launched the record company.
Dr. Leonard S. Scott, co-founder of Ty Scott Music and Entertainment. Ty Scott was born in 1976 when Dennis Leonard Scott and Craig Tyson, his nephew, started the label for the sole purpose of releasing their church choir's first album. Through the first decade, Ty Scott's sales was consistent but modest. After Scott's then 19-year-old son Brian took over the daily management of the company in 1988, the company eventually went from selling $50 million worth of product a year to $2 million in billing a year, thanks to young acts like the Reverend John P. Key. Ty Scott Music and Entertainment is a family-run business with a focus on positive music, film, and entertainment for the entire family. With a dynamic team and home to some of the world's greatest talent, Ty Scott is transforming the world and sharing the gospel. As the oldest black-owned and operated gospel recording company in the country, the business credits its success to God's grace. I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, Ty Scott Music and Entertainment, with co-founder Dr. Leonard S. Scott, In Black America.
Major difference is the way that we get our music and the format that it's on. When we started 40 years ago, it was 45s and 33 and a third album, and then it transitioned to the 8-track tape and the cassette tape, and now it's transitioned to CDs, which CDs are getting ready to, I guess, go out to. Now, people just download it to their cell phones or their iPad or iPod or whatever they have, you know, and carry around 10,000 songs in their hand. And then it seems like it's even going from there to streaming,
right,
to where you don't even download it, you don't even purchase it, you just pay for the service to be able to listen to whatever song you want to listen to on your phone or your device.
Ty Scott Records stands as the oldest black-owned and operated gospel recording company in the nation. Dr. Scott and Craig Tyson established the label as a recording vehicle for their church choir project. Dr. Scott initially operated the company from offices in his dental practice. The company faced hard financial times in the beginning phase, and sometime later, Craig Tyson decided to relinquish his share in the company. In the 1980s, the label gained success by signing artists such as the Reverend Bill Sawyer and the Christian Tabernacle Choir, and Robert Turner and the Silver Hearts. In 1988, Dr. Scott's son Brian was hired as the label's general manager. During the late 1980s and early 1990s, Ty Scott Records experienced tremendous growth and success, mostly due to the recording of a new artist at the time named the Reverend John P. Key. Reverend Key and his New Life Community Choir climbed the charts with each successive recording to land the number one position in 1992 with the recording We Walk By Faith. In 1993, the company faced a severe crisis when the distributor Spectra filed for bankruptcy and left owing Ty Scott over $500,000 that had been generated from the sales of his products. Today, the future is looking bright with their new CD entitled Feel Good, 40 Years of Life-Changing Music. Recently, In Black America spoke with co-founder Dr. Leonard S. Scott.
Well, it's pretty cool. We you know, Indianapolis is not a huge city, but it's not small either. Metropolitan area, I think, is about 1.2 million. So, you know, it's a nice-sized community, but then it's not. I think it's a nice place to raise a family, you know, and I've enjoyed it here.
What initial interest did you have in dentistry?
That's an interesting question. I had a kind of a low self-esteem when I was a child, and it's because of my dad. He kind of saw something in me, and he used to always tell me, boy, you got a good mind. Why don't you be a doctor? And I really didn't think I could do it, but because I loved my parents, I tried to obey them, and so what I made up in my mind, I was going to try my best, and then when I failed, you know, tell my dad, you know, I tried, you know, but I found out if you try your best at about anything, you're probably going to achieve it.
And where did you attend dentistry school?
In Indiana, Indianapolis, Indiana, is where the only dental school in Indiana is.
And I also understand that you're currently a pastor of Rock Community Church?
That's right. My wife and I pastor Rock Community Church here in Indianapolis.
And when did you receive the calling?
To pastor?
Yes.
In 2000.
In 2000. And mm-hmm. can you remember that particular moment?
Actually, I remember because when the Lord, you know, called us to start work, I went to my wife and told her, and she looked at me and she said, I don't know about that. I never will forget, because the church we were at, you know, was her, actually her brother was our pastor, and we helped found that church. Both of us had, you know, good positions in the church. I was like the church treasurer, the worship leader, you know, but then a couple of days later, she came back to me and said, you know, the Lord dealt with me on that. I think we're supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to our pastor, and I had seen, our pastor was old school, and I had seen, you know, young ministers go to him and say, you know, I want to launch out and start a church. And I seen him look at him and say, okay, go in there and clean that toilet, you know, and put him to work. And so I thought, you know, he was going to say something like that to us, you know, when we sat down with him. And he looked at us and he said, you know, he said, other ministers would come to me and say something like that. He said, they ain't even been faithful here. He said, you know, y'all been faithful. He said, let's do this thing, you know, just like that. And so, It really took me out of my comfort zone, and we you know, launched a work with my wife and our family, and our pastor would send over one of the deacons every week to our service, so we wouldn't be sitting there preaching to nobody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a good journey. That's been about 16 years ago, and the Lord has blessed us.
I understand. In doing the research, Scott Record is celebrating 40 years?
That's right, 40 years of life-changing music.
What led you to start the record company?
We started Ty Scott Records as a label to put our church recording on. Our church did a recording, and we needed a label to put it on. And my nephew, who was our pastor's son, Craig Tyson, was instrumental. He and I, you know, wrote songs together, and my attorney, you know, he asked, you know, what do you want to call, you know, this label? And so his name was Craig Tyson, and my name was Leonard Scott. And so he said, well, why don't you call it Ty Scott? And that's how we got the name Ty Scott, and we launched the record company.
And tell us about that process. You know, one would think about starting a record company, but obviously it's more than a notion.
Well, it's you know, having a record company, it just depends on what you want to do with it. You know, when we started it, it was more or less just, you know, something to do on the side. But in hindsight, you know, I can see now that, you know, God had bigger plans for our label. And when I first started it, it was, you know, more like just something I like to do. I remember sitting down with our accountant every year, you know, around tax time, and he would look at the various businesses, the dental practice and other businesses. But when he got to the record company, you know, he said, you know, these businesses are doing good, but you need to shut that record company down. Because, you know, we were spending money in it, but nothing was coming in from it. And you know, I would tell him that, well, he played golf, you know, and I said, well, you like the golf, you know, I like gospel music, you know, so... But, you know, at one point when my son came in and started to work, it kind of turned around and developed into a viable business.
Has the vision changed that much over the years?
The vision has changed. The mission hasn't changed. You know, we still, our mission is still to reach people with the gospel and to change lives with the gospel. But, of course, the vision has changed through the years. When we first started, we were, as we developed, we were a label for artists who, you know, the larger companies wouldn't look at, you know, or, and who we thought, you know, had potential. And but as we developed, you know, our vision has changed now. We, you know, we don't just look at new artists. We look at any artist that we feel like is a good mix, you know, for what we do at Ty Scott. And not only in recorded music, but we also do, you know, other things. We do some movies. And so our vision has kind of expanded some. And, we're enjoying it.
And you talked about you were having financial problems, and you almost was on the brink of bankruptcy?
Yeah, back in the, was that the early 90s, I believe. We had that's when we had signed, John P. Key was on the label, and he was the number one artist in the nation. He had at the time, We Walk By Faith was real big, we were distributed by a company called Spectra Distribution, and owner of Spectra called us and told us that they were going out of business and that it wasn't just a reorganization. You know, sometimes you do bankruptcy, you reorganize, and you might get a quarter on the dollar. He said, we're going totally out of business. And so that means that, and they owed us, I think, around $300,000.
Whoa.
You know, and so that, you know, should have wiped us out. But by the grace of God, you know, and doors that God opened and just favor that God gave us, you know, it didn't. And we came back stronger than ever.
I understand. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. We're speaking with Dr. Leonard S. Scott, gospel musician, pastor, and co-founder of Ty Scott Music and Entertainment. Dr. Scott, tell us about some of the artists that you have on your label.
Oh, wow. I think we have some of the finest artists in gospel music on our label. Of course, everybody knows Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, who just at the last Stellars walked away with 10 Stellar Awards, broke the record of number of Stellar Awards at one awards. And he's just doing phenomenal things. Also, KCJ is another one of our artists that we're just really excited about. That is doing phenomenal things, a phenomenal worship leader and songwriter. And then, of course, Rance Allen and the Rance Allen Group have been doing what they do for years.
Right.
And they're just got it going on, man, I tell you. Another new artist that we're excited about is Brianna Babinaw, who is, you know, really doing real good. And of course, artists that have come through, you know, the label, people like, and many of these artists are on the project, the Feel Good, you know, project that we're putting out, celebrating our 40 years. We went from the very first song that we did all the way to songs by KCJ and Anthony Brown and Group Therapy, and put them on one project, you know, songs over the 40 years. And with many of the artists, we got a song on here by Kirk Franklin,
right,
John P. Key, by Bishop Larry Trotter, Sweet Holy Spirit, Dietrich Haddon, Rodney Bryant. You know, just many of the great artists that have come through our label through the years, and And so we put some of the top songs on this project. Feel Good, 40 years of life-changing music.
Black-owned and operated gospel recording company, is there an added incentive that you try to live up to as far as maintaining that level of excellence?
Well, we try to, number one, we try to please the Lord. You know, I tell people that we have a board of directors, and our chief head of our board is Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so we pray and we seek Him in direction, and we try to put out music that is going to not only reach the masses but also edify the people of God and glorify God.
Have you found it difficult? I remember back in the day when I was growing up, each radio station that had an African-American, quote, urban format, gospel music was played the first time of the day every day. But it seems that those particular radio stations nowadays are not playing as much gospel music. So I guess the question is it difficult for you to find airplay on our radio stations across the country?
Well, I think it can be. It just depends. And a lot of that depends on who your artists are. You know, for the artists that are very popular, you know, it's not hard to find or to get airplay. Of course, for when you have a new artist, it usually is hard to get airplay until that artist breaks, you know, and they become known, you know, to the public, and people begin to request their song. And I remember so well what you're talking about, because there weren't very many gospel stations.
Right.
You had urban stations which did gospel on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
And on early mornings, and they did R&B, you know, the rest of the time, you know.
Right.
And so it was kind of hard to track your music, because sometimes the person that did the gospel was only there on Sundays, you know.
Exactly. But since Radio 1, Kathy Hughes and her company has bought a lot of radio stations and turned them into gospel stations, I think probably it's a little bit better than what it once was.
Oh, yeah. There are many more gospel stations than there were back in the day. I guess there are many more stations, period, than there were back
mm-hmm.
in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then also with the digitalization of things, it has changed the whole everything, the way people buy music, the way people listen to music, a lot of streaming now is going on, and downloading of music. And it used to be a lot of Ma and Pa stores where you could go and buy your gospel music and somebody
right.
tell you about the newest things coming out. But those are just about now history. You know, you don't see many. I guess Walmart is the biggest outlet now to purchase gospel music. And there's a few Christian bookstores left,
mm-hmm.
But not too many of what we used to call the Ma and Pa stores. And a lot of people, you know, in our sales, it's about 50-50 now as far as like digital and actual CDs in what people are buying. So it's really changing.
No, that's right. You mentioned Brittany. Are you finding young millennials having an interest, one, in gospel music itself, but also being involved in the industry?
That's a good question. I think there are a number of people that are interested in being, you know, involved in the industry, but the industry is changing at such a rapid pace. You know, my son was doing some work at another company, and he had an opportunity, one of the major labels, and he had an opportunity to sit in on one of their meetings, and he came back to me and said, you know, Dad, he said, they don't even have an A&R department. He said, all they do is go to YouTube and see who's getting all the hits, you know, who people are looking at on YouTube. and then they pursue them that way, you know, so they don't, you know, in other words, you know, it used to be back in the day, A&R departments would go to clubs, you
right.
know, or on the gospel side, you know, go to concerts and church and see, you know. But now they don't even do that anymore. They just go to YouTube.
What are some of the other differences that you've noticed over these 40 years?
Well, of course, a major difference is the way that we get our music. And the format that it's on. When we started 40 years ago, it was 45s and 33 and a third
mm-hmm.
albums. And then it transitioned to the 8-track tape and the cassette tape. And now it's transitioned to CDs, which CDs are getting ready to, I guess, go out to. Now, people just download it to their cell phones or their iPad or iPod or whatever they have, you know, and carry around 10,000 songs in their hand, you know. And then it seems like it's even going from there to streaming,
right.
to where you don't even download it, you don't even purchase it, you just pay for the service to be able to listen to whatever song you want to listen to on your phone or your device.
And looking at you all's feel-good 40 years of life-changing music, was it difficult for you all to come up with the songs and to be included on the CD?
Oh, yes. There were so many songs to choose from, I tell you. And actually, we've had artists to ask us, you know, are we on that? Are we on it, you know? And you know, you could only have 15 songs on here. And if you can imagine how many songs we have, you know, down through the years, through 40 years. And so our answer has been, you know, if this one does real good, we're going to do a volume 2. And then you'll probably be on the volume 2, you know.
What brought you to gospel music? What is it about gospel music that actually fulfill a part of your being?
You know, it's interesting that you would ask that. I was in music before the Lord saved me, and I was really into it real deep. In fact, I wanted to be like a rock star. And when God saved me, I got out of music altogether because music had really been my God. You know, you can make a God out of anything. And I really kind of worshipped it. And so I just got out, period. I didn't want to have anything to do with it because I met the real God. And after about a year or so, you know, the Lord just gave me a release in my spirit, and I just got into choir. And things started to happen from there. It's almost like, you know, I gave up what I really loved and he changed it and gave it back to me, you know. I didn't become a big rock star, but he gave me a record company, you know, hallelujah, a gospel record company.
When you look back over the years, what has been some of the most gratifying times that you've had thus far with Ty Scott Records?
Oh, I've had many gratifying times. I think this past Stellar Awards was a very gratifying time when Anthony Brown and Group Therapy at 10 Stellar Awards. That was very gratifying. And then seeing, you know, some of our artists like KCJ and Dietrich Haddon and John P. Key, you know, having number one selling recordings and in the case of John, you know, gold records. And you know, just Grammy nominations, those are always good times, and Dove Award nominations and Stellar Award nominations. It's just gratifying when, you know, what you're doing is being recognized by the public and your peers.
Where would you like to see the company 5 or 10 years from now, Dr. Scott?
Well, I think 5 to 10 years from now, I'd like to see us, you know, going basically along the same path, maybe doing a few more movies. And also, we have broadened to where we distribute other labels, and maybe for that to also expand, you know, in order to help other labels in getting their music out.
Dr. Leonard S. Scott, co-founder of Ty Scott Music and Entertainment. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. Remember to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. This has been a production of KUT Radio.